Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And I remembered how to start the show.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I know. It's like a bicycle. You mostly remember how to do it, but I'm getting old.
You fall and eat it.
Yeah, and you cause yourself a concussion, and suddenly you can't remember how to freaking ride a bicycle anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of forgetting things, last week's show, before we ended, I was going to talk briefly about, hey, how can you get a hold of us? Were you inclined to do so?
Okay.
Because we've got a variety of ways to do that.
Not me.
Well, not you. I handle all that.
Social media?
Yeah. Look, somebody's got to do it. So since there is no @Bealus on Twitter or anything like that, and if there is, it ain't him. Don't waste your time. You can, if you are inclined, on Twitter, get a hold of me at Scormy. Is spelled pretty much like you think. Also, it's in the description of the freaking show usually. So, yeah. You can also drop by scormy.com and leave posts and whatnot. Because there's stuff there. Real content. I swear. You can also follow me on Twitch. Dear God, follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/scormy. And finally, if you would, I know there's not many of you out there left. I watch the numbers drop, but if you would, somebody, leave a review on iTunes, or Stitcher Radio, or Google Podcasts. I'm easy. Any of those. I'm not trying to beg.
Yeah, you are.
This would have been at the end of the last show, but I forgot. Because I fell off the bicycle. Anyway, so you had a show to do, right?
Yes.
Have at.
Well, what I thought about was, and this started because of your character's quote-unquote death in The Last Adventure.
Yes, quote-unquote death.
Well, it's because nobody knows whether he died or not. He's just gone.
I liked how you handled that.
Well, I didn't want to, kill him and, leave a body and everybody's like, oh no, Anzu's dead. Everybody's upset.
Death
you
is so
were
final.
Switching characters and you suggested an epic death for Anzu.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, he's such a popular character. If you ever decided you wanted to go back to him, I wanted to have some way to be able to bring him back. So the Ankh-Egg grabbed him. Because Anzu's just a little halfling barbarian.
Yep.
And dragged him underground and scurried off with him. The Ankh-Egg, by the way, had like 4 hit points. Anzu took, what, half a dozen, maybe a dozen hit points damage, and he still has at least twice that much.
Oh, left. Yeah. He wasn't really even... It wasn't even a bother.
So, I mean... Him surviving the Ankh-Egg attack is not a problem, but what happened? Is he alive? Is he dead? Is he buried under there? Who knows? But it had an impact on the players,
mm-hmm.
And that got me thinking that, all kinds of player decisions, in games I've watched, in games I've played in games I've run, how it affects the story. And it's kind of enjoyable being on the DM side because you get to see, because you're crafting the story for the players to live in and experience. And so you've got this great idea, or at least you think it's a great idea, and you're playing along, you're doing your thing, blah, 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 blah. And then something dynamic happens that you weren't expecting, and your brain goes, ah! And a whole new path opens up because of this one action.
Yes.
And, you know, for being a DM, that's like the best thing ever. I mean, it's like chocolate and sex and, you know, just it's the best of everything all put together in one little package, because you were struggling to get that story going, and then all of a sudden, this whole new thing just opened up in front of you.
Now, time. If you are a good game master, it's like chocolate and sex and baseball and awesomeness. Well, maybe not baseball. Because... What? No. Sorry, clicked the wrong thing. This is why I shouldn't be on Facebook at this time. Anyway... Off to edit.
Yes.
Or maybe not. No, I've seen other game masters who have been hit with one of these campaign-changing decisions by a player that it basically threw them for such a loop that they basically tossed out the whole thing and we never played that again because they couldn't take what the player had done and make it into something new. Go in, just flow with it and turn it into something awesome, because it could have been.
Could have been. Yeah. Sure.
For example, one thing that Ten Knife did, actually, we were playing with our friend Sean, and it was a couple we know who are no longer together, but that's not the point, and myself and Ten Knife. And our friend Sean was running. It was one of his systems that he had made. And I was playing a knight. She was playing some sort of rogue.
Okay.
And the other two, I don't remember what they were doing. That's not important.
So a memorable game.
Well, it was your classic, okay, you're in a bar. You're in the tavern. You were asked to come to this town because... they wanted to hire you for something, but you can't meet with the town council until tomorrow because we arrived in the evening. So we're like, we're going to spend the night at the tavern. So we're all there.
I think I know the story you're telling. Yeah.
And we're basically, it's a crowded tavern, and we're all just trying to have a meal, drink, relax. And my sweetie takes... her characters very seriously. So when she made a rogue, she meant it. So she decided to start pickpocketing. And she ended up getting kind of caught. So this guy was all raving and whatnot. Oh, to the stocks, blah, blah, whatever. He was going to, you know, drag her off and have her arrested. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm standing up for this lady that's a part of our party. I never saw her do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And now this dude grabs her and, you know, trying to drag her off. So we get into an argument and he challenges me to a duel. So being a man of honor, all right, then we're dueling. And we start to do the usual thing that knights would do. And we are, you know, discussing seconds and when it's going to occur, and, you know, getting the details down for a proper duel. And then he goes... in a crowded bar, in front of dozens of witnesses, he goes, quote, and falls over dead with a knife in the back of his neck. And she said something to the effect of, that was taking too long, and bolts for the door. So, off we ran. Because all of a sudden, we're all implicated as murderers. Oh, did I mention he was one of the town councilmen? So we bolt, we're being chased, we jump in a wagon and take off. It's covered with a bunch, you know, it's got a bunch of stuff covered in the back, bags and whatnot. We just jump in this wagon and take off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the wagon was rather heavy, but we didn't know why until we had escaped and looked inside. And it was because it was full of silver implements, you know, candelabras and silverware and all these things of silver. Everybody in town, from rich to poor, anyone who had any amount of silver had given it up so that all could be melted down and formed into various types of weapons that we were going to use to fight off the pack of werewolves that was terrorizing the town, that without our protection killed everyone and annihilated the town, because the guy she killed was like the main guy defending the town.
Well, then maybe he shouldn't have been so uppity.
He's a knight. And she did try to steal from him. Yeah. It was a thing. And the thing is,
but he should have been able to recover from that and kept the story going.
Well, he didn't like Dead Knife much, so.
Oh.
I know. But she did an excellent job of role playing.
Mm-hmm.
She played her character to the hilt,
so to speak,
to the detriment of an entire town. But that's the sort of thing that any GM should have been able to run with. Instead of, okay, now we're fighting the werewolves. Now, yeah, we have to fight the werewolves, but now we're retaking the town. Now maybe we go back to the town to bring back their silver whatever, and we don't know that the town's been killed by werewolves. Well, not killed. They've all been turned.
Well, either they're that all or
welcoming. It was all a misunderstanding. Everything's fine. Hey, even the guy you killed is back through some means.
What I would have done is I would have said, okay, you get caught. And since you caused this, you get to go fix it. Here is the cure for lycanthropy. You get to go and administer it to all those people that you caused this to happen to. And if you're successful, then we'll see about whether or not you go to jail.
Or another way to go is the wagon is heavy and you get caught. But on bringing you back, they get you back to jail and they throw you in the cells and they lock you in when the werewolves attack. And there's been no time to make weapons, and they can't defend themselves. And the now you have to try and break out of the jail just to survive and possibly save what's left of the town. Mm-hmm. Different things you could be done that could either follow the storyline or go off on a completely different tangent. Maybe forget that town, and sometime way later on in the campaign, you come back around to this town. You don't even remember this town. It's just some podunk, 100 people live here sort of town. Everything seems fine. You don't recognize anybody. You weren't there very long. They recognize you.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Or you go to a nearby town and the threat has spread. So it's not just this one little podunk town, it's the capital city, or several farms and another small city, or whatever. It's just branching out now.
The point is, either whether you followed the main storyline or branched off into something new, a good GM can take something like that, that totally takes all the work that they worked on for that session, crumples it up and throws it out the window. There's not a whole lot of recovering from what you were going to do.
Well, and
but you can roll with it and make something better out of it.
And sometimes it doesn't have to be better. It just has to be different. You know, what I like to do is throw out innocuous things, you know, like the red-crested songbird.
Yeah. You mean the dragon?
Well, that's what you guys think. You think it's a dragon that's polymorphed, but it could just be a songbird, or it could be something else.
Oh, no, it's a dragon.
Okay.
I'll almost guarantee that's a dragon.
Fantastic. I'm glad that's what you think, because that just makes things easier.
Yeah.
But
and the guy in the bar is not what we think he is. He could be the dragon, too.
He could be the dragon, too. Okay. Sure. Okay.
I don't remember seeing him around that songbird.
The songbird was sitting on the gate. There wasn't a whole lot of people around. Just because the songbird was out months before he should have been doesn't mean it's something dangerous, per se.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've How long have we been playing D&D together?
Oh, and that's what I count on.
It means something.
Paranoia.
Because
the DM's best friend.
If I don't think the worst, then the worst is going to happen to me. You do recall what happened to my very first paladin.
Oh, yeah. But paladins aren't good at finding traps unless they trigger them.
And they're also really not good at, getting equipment when all they could afford to start off with is a longsword.
Mm-hmm.
I had clothes, a bag, and a longsword. No armor. Walked up to the door of the temple, got a pole right up the bum, straight out through the top of my head.
That wasn't his finest moment.
No, it was his only moment. Very start of the very first game.
Yeah.
Let's go investigate these ruins. Shoop! End of adventure.
Yeah, but we were stupid.
Yeah.
Well, come on. There was just the two of us playing.
No. My friend Carrie was playing then, too.
I don't remember Carrie's character.
I don't either, because he didn't matter.
Try telling Carrie that.
Well, no, I'm not saying that his character was bad. I'm saying the only reason that adventure was memorable at all was we just made characters. We showed up. I get annihilated right at the start. Okay, I gotta go. I'm very angry. I'm trying to make a new character while he's sitting there just, okay, I'll just sit here and wait.
Well, you got a paladin to loot.
Who had a longsword.
Alley loot.
And yes, a pair of pants with a convenient hole in the bottom. Anyway, that's beside the point. Like I was saying, I have to assume the worst.
Well, probably should. Because that just makes it easier for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I've been watching a whole bunch of other, streamers doing D&D shows, and the majority of them are fairly decent. I don't like the styles of a lot of the DMs, but you can see what they're doing with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I see the fun behind it.
Not everyone can be Matt Mercer.
No. But it's just, I remember so many different games where, something would happen and it just changed the whole course of the adventure. I'm just having a lot of trouble bringing up really good ones.
Well, it doesn't even have to be the course of the adventure. It could be the course of the whole campaign.
Yeah.
Heck, just something as simple as Mom and her accidental polymorph.
Well, that actually was spawned from a really bad spot hidden roll while everybody was sleeping. And so the cultists came up and captured, I think it was 4 members of the party, and dragged them off.
Mm-hmm.
And when they woke up to being branded. And it was those brands on their chest that gave them the power, those symbols on their chest.
Yes.
And that's not how Mom got the polymorph, though. That was...
Well, the point is, though, is that it's not so much...
some years ago.
It's not so much how she got it. It was in, 1983, 84. But what was more important was her getting so excited and into the game that she jumped into her standard, transforming into... a gold or copper dragon. It was one of the good dragon's forms because she was a paladin.
I thought it was silver, but that's just me.
Regardless, it was one of the good, not colored. It was metallic.
Right.
We're talking first edition here. And she was so excited when it came to her turn, she forgot something as simple as, I dismount from my horse. And then polymorph. No, she just went, I'd go into dragon form.
Yeah. Squish.
The horse didn't do well, which could have been handled differently from the game master point of view.
Yeah.
You could have had her fling out her wings and fly above and, be kind of rise up off of the horse. So the horse runs off and, doesn't run off, but, is out of the way. She could continue on. It would look majestic. Or dead horse.
Yes, but how often did she ever fly as a dragon? Never, ever.
Not saying you were wrong. I'm saying it could have been handled in different ways. But in the way it was handled, her choice made a significant change to that, not just that scene, but to the whole path of that adventure. She then quested until she was able to get all the materials to get everything together so that she could resurrect her horse, which she then did, blowing all of her fortune to do so. And it was mad at her because it remembered, so she released it into the wild.
Yes.
And you didn't have the heart to tell her it got snagged by a griffin or something, a wyvern or something, shortly thereafter.
Well, I mean, come on. It's a domesticated horse.
Loosed into a monster-filled wolf forest.
Yes.
Yeah. Out into the wilds.
A forest that was noted for being exceedingly dangerous.
I love Mom. She made such interesting choices. But anyway, that literally, that one choice completely turned at not just her focus of her character, but it affected everybody else because we all followed her. She was one of the, playing a paladin, was one of the primary leaders of the group. And now we are focused on getting this job done until that horse is alive again.
Yeah.
Briefly. But alive again. As far as she knows, it's alive. Or new.
It's alive and well and living on a farm.
Yes. Exactly. Gets to run all day in the fields.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty standard. Most people would think, well, player choices, of course, are going to change adventures.
And they're going to. But there are some, and usually it's just the dumbest little thing happens that sparks the creativity of the person behind the screen. I mean, I would love to go into a lot more detail about the ones that have happened with the existing group that we've got going, but those need to be unveiled slowly over the course of the adventure. Because your wife popping up, oh, that's a dragon in disguise. No, it wasn't, but...
Is it now? Possibly.
Well, and it's just like that one cartoon about the... you see a warehouse, and they're talking about, you know, it being a werewolf house kind of thing, a house that's actually a werewolf thing. And the DM goes, well, now it is, and starts scribbling, you know, numbers down.
Right. It's the basic concept from Ghostbusters. When a supernatural creature asks you if you're a god, you say yes!
Yes.
That's, you know, sometimes it's better just to keep a thought in your mind. Don't voice your, that's going to be a dragon, I just know it.
Because that makes it a dragon.
Suddenly it is.
Why? Because the DM didn't have any plans for that. That was just a throwaway thing. And all of a sudden you just said, okay, well, that's a dragon. Sure, why not? You're level one. Let's have a dragon involved.
Now, there are other times. I know we're running a little short on time, but another game that was run by our friend Sean, rest in peace, with me and the Bachelors of the Apocalypse.
All right.
A group of friends we had years ago. We're playing one of his fantasy games. And I had like some war knight, which was a standard for me. We had a mage. We had a rogue type character. We had all these different characters. It was a very grounded type of fantasy game, though. And this one friend, the sister of your wife's... maid of honor?
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about? Well,
yeah.
She was over visiting. And let's just say she's a chesty lass.
Oh, yeah. Big titties.
And so
the whole family.
The Bachelors of the Apocalypse couldn't stop staring. And she, I think, felt a little uncomfortable. She was visiting one of them. and the rest are all, so she decided to, she's going to show them she's not just here just to be a damsel in distress. She's going to play. And she jumped on a horse to go riding because everyone's standing around. We're trying to decide what we're going to do. Well, she had this character and jumped on one of the horses and was going to, you know, make something happen. But she doesn't have any riding skills.
Okay.
So the horse takes off in that direction.
Well, and now she's got happened.
A whole bunch of guys chasing off after her. And she's going to get her full neck broke. Somehow this ended up in me getting mauled by a cave bear.
Okay.
Because
sounds fair.
She ended up riding all the way to the cave bear cave before they were able to get control of her mount. And I come riding up there, being effectively a tank, and there's something in the cave. Oh, shoot. So I got almost killed because of her choice. And I wasn't even one of those ones causing a problem.
No.
Yeah. Sean was kind of a prick that way sometimes.
Yeah.
But he did roll with what she chose to do.
Uh-huh.
Just she didn't have the skill to do what she wanted to do.
Well, there is that.
As he explained to me sometime later when we were talking about it and really laughing about it, he was like, she wanted to go off and be this great adventurer. Except the character she made didn't have any of those skills. She made a damsel in distress and tried to play it as some grand adventurer. She was Buttercup without any of the possible, you know, any skills to even defend herself more than Buttercup could. Buttercup, what's
Princess
that
movie? Bride.
Princess Bride, yes. So she was a less effective version of that, just saying.
You mean the person who should have been rodents of unusual size poop?
Basically. And if I hadn't, it was up to me. I didn't have to chase after. The guys were going to chase after her because, you know, that's what they do. But I could have just sat there and just continued to drink my mead.
And no, you probably should have.
They're going to get themselves killed trying to save her. So I chased after. And then I'm the one who almost gets killed.
If you had just stayed where you were, drank your mead, and let the rest of the party get mauled, that would have been another example where, yes, you know, that choice led to the death of this many characters.
But then I would have felt bad.
Why?
Because they were my friends.
But they ran off without saying, hey, we need you to come along, and yes, dragged you along.
They chased the boobies, and it would have gotten them killed. But hey, you know, boobies.
Many a man has done that.
And died in the doing.
Yes.
Oh, well. Anyway, we're late. So, we should probably go.
Okay. Well, I would like to, maybe years down the road, if when we finish the campaign we're on, maybe I can talk about some of the things I've been working on.
Okay.
A lot of sparks with the group I have. A lot of things that just, you know, ta-da! All these cool things coming up because of stupid little things you guys are doing.
Yes. I'm sure we'll be able to revisit many things as we go along.
Yes.
Anyway, until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.